And it was an ever-present reminder to me that if I didn't save money today for my retirement to be sensitive to it, I could be eating dog food at 65, and I'm not going to do that.
Welcome to Speaking Insurance, a weekly podcast where we talk with successful insurance and risk management professionals to gain some insight into their success and to talk about the topics that are relevant to you. This is Speaking Insurance. Bob Rogers is now the Executive Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer for Accident Insurance Services in Houston, Texas. Since 1967, he has held a variety of positions across the country, along the way being named Insurance Educator of the Year by the PIA of Texas. He is currently a distinguished faculty member of the National Alliance. So tell me, Bob, how did you first find out about the National Alliance?
My wife and I had gone, and she had started going to the National Alliance to CIC programs, and she told me that I probably needed to go and go through some. So I went and attended a personal lines class, and then I went and sat through agency management. And when I sat through agency management, we had a breakout session where we all got together and told each other what we were doing, and I said, this is crazy. I'm not going to tell my competitors what I'm doing. So I walked out, and we were at the Thompson Convention Center at UT in Austin, and I walked out into the lobby, and this was in probably 77, 78, I guess. And I walked out into the lobby, and Kathleen was standing there, and she said, well, what do you think? And I said, this is the most Mickey Mouse thing I have ever seen in my life. I said, who is going to sit here with a bunch of insurance agents and give everybody all their secrets and tell everybody what they're doing? And lo and behold, who was standing behind me, I mean within an earshot, but Dr. Hold. And he kind of wanted to know who this so-and-so was that was standing there. And I was going through my cowboy phase at the time, so I had my boots on and a duster and a hat, and I was standing there. And I basically left. And that was it. Went back to work for MetLife, and I was the brokerage director for Metropolitan. And a fellow by the name of Richard Meek, who was a CIC, and he happened to be the president of the PIA of Texas, he asked me if I would be willing to teach at a CIC institute and teach it was implementation of life and health in a property casualty agency. I said, sure. So I went to Dallas, and it was at UT Dallas, and Larry Welch was the ed consultant. And we had a big group of people, and we had worked real hard and done a lot of marketing pieces that I had used at Metropolitan over the years, and we had kind of developed some things for property casualty agents in the brokerage arena. And so I used that, and Larry Welch thought I had done a pretty good job. And so after the institute, he called Austin. And he talked to Dr. Hold, and he told Dr. Hold that he thought we might have had found a new speaker for life and health. And this was in 1985, so it was about, 7 years after the original incident, so that time had gone on a little bit. And the rest is kind of history.
And what are your thoughts on the National Alliance today?
I think the National Alliance has grown to be one of the most relevant education programs in our business for people in the property casualty industry, for people in the life and health industry, the things that we've done over the years and developed. The thing I like about the programs of the National Alliance, you can sit through a class and then take what you've learned and put it to work on Monday morning. And that's what makes it, it's a practical application of all this theory that we put in place. I went through CLU, I went through programs of the American College. There's a lot of theory, there's a lot of that going on. While there's theory and technical knowledge in the CIC program and certainly the CRM, it gives you the tools to make you better at your craft, at your profession.
How long have you been a speaker, and how has that experience been for you?
31 years. I love it. It forces you to be current. It forces you to stay on top of your game when you're teaching. I always like to tell people you learn more about the Bible teaching Sunday school many times than you ever do just sitting in the class. So that's what it's about for me. It also allows me to meet a lot of great people. Insurance people are very outgoing, very engaged in their communities. They have a sense of stewardship, many of them, for their clients and what they do. And I enjoy being around insurance people. They're kind of the salt of the earth, in my opinion. They really are.
For the past 6 years, you've been teaching the dynamics of selling. What exactly is the dynamics of selling?
Dynamics of selling is a course that is offered, and what it is a we teach a three-step process in sales. We teach it's a sales process, and it's allowing salespeople to be able to manage that process for what I like to call predictable results. And if you keep doing the same thing over and over, you're going to get successes if you're doing the right things. And dynamics is just that. Dynamics teaches a number of things. It teaches learning this process. It teaches hardwiring responses. It teaches learning about how you deal with objections. It talks about how you as a salesperson are not the center of attention when you walk into the room. Your client is, and how you're there to glean information, not put it out. It teaches things that many times we take for granted and go, oh yeah, I knew that, but we forget to do it because we don't train, we don't. Dynamics, it talks about repetition, and it talks about learning to do the same thing over and over again. And it is an excellent, excellent course. We have applied it to employee benefits. One of the things that's going on today because of the enactment of healthcare reform, the ACA, and all the things that's brought to the fore, one of the things that's happening is that people don't have a hard time getting appointments like they used to. But what ends up happening is, as we refer to in dynamics, they end up getting those appointments, and then they end up what we call gerbling, wasting energy, being used, being, their knowledge being drained for somebody else. The honesty police we talk about all the time. The fact that you have to position that relationship and play by your rules, not the client's, and understand what those are. It is a fabulous program. We're seeing it with a lot of newer people coming on board. We're seeing a lot of major. We've had a number of firms that have brought the program in place. We have one that we have done the program with. We just finished the third year. And they're tracking the people that have gone through it, and they're seeing the production records off of those people that is really having a significant impact on their agencies that they're with. And they're going back. I've had the pleasure of meeting with some of the students a year after, 6 months being doing CICs or being out with and doing other programs and or working. They'll sit there and say, you know, when you taught us this, and we learned that, and we learned these specific things, that it really works. We teach everyone, don't assume anything when you walk into a person's office, when you sit down. Don't assume, don't take a position. Again, in the benefits arena, it's such a politically charged arena. You're not there to take a position. You're there to impart knowledge. You're there to be a true help to the person that's there. So the dynamics program today, I believe, is more, or not more, but it's just as relevant today as it's ever been in the benefits arena, just because of what's going on. And the neat thing about the benefits arena now with what's going on is there's not a day go by that people aren't talking about our business. And there is an air of confusion in the air, which is great for us because they need help, advice, and counsel.
Whenever someone mentions the name Bob Rogers, the first thing that comes to mind is a can of dog food. What is this can of dog food all about?
When I started teaching, it was 1985, and the largest demographic in 1985 were the baby boomers, those born between 1946 and 1964. That demographic had affected pretty much everything they touched. And so part of what we do with the life and health portion of the CIC is we want to give marketing ideas and explain the marketing opportunities that property casualty agents have sitting in their own office. I mean, I always get up and say one of the biggest problems I had when I got in the business was getting someone to talk to under favorable circumstances that had listened to my story. You've already got that. You've got people that have done business with you for years. So you've got those relationships. The next question becomes, what are we going to talk about? Well, the obvious was the demographic of the baby boomers and what was getting ready to happen over the next years in advance. And one of the topics that we have in the CIC seminar and in our Ruble seminars is retirement planning. And so I started coming to the institutes with my can of Alpo. And because I had done this in my office, I had read an article in a newspaper in Phoenix, Arizona, and it talked about how dog food, specifically Alpo, had been sold at double the rate where people were on fixed incomes, the volume that it was sold where people were not. I said, well, is that because people on fixed incomes, retirees, have twice the animals that people who are not retirees? And that was not the case. It was because people were actually using dog food for in place of, you know, going to the store and buying steak dinners. So they were eating dog food. And I went, whoa. So I took that can of dog food into my office at Metropolitan and I set it on the shelf. And I thought, you know, what I'm going to do is that dog food story is an ever-present reminder that you better save your money because this huge demographic is going to hit the pay window all at the same time. The paradigm is shifting. Companies aren't taking care of employees with pension plans. They're forcing employees to save their own money. The Social Security is changing, which we see even through the current changes in the law. The whole thing is going to, we're tending to push the problem down the road. So I put this can of dog food in my office, and it was for me. And it was an ever-present reminder to me that if I didn't save money today for my retirement, to be sensitive to it, I could be eating dog food at 65, and I'm not going to do that. And then I discovered something. People tend to do business with clients that are like them. People do business with people they like, with people that they're comfortable with. And so the people I was doing business with were people my age. Well, we're all kind of in the same boat. People would come into my office. They would sit down, and invariably, what's that can of dog food doing sitting in your bookcase would become a point of discussion. And so I'd tell them the story. It started moving the whole conversation to another on another level because they'd sit there and say, you know, yeah, I'm kind of concerned about this as well. So I thought, you know, I'm going to take a can of dog food with me on my next CIC lecture. And I put it on the podium and I just let it sit there. And we went all through the deal now, all through the presentation. And what I originally started using it for was when we had a piece in the Life and Health Institute about implementing life and benefits in a property casualty agency. So that was always at the end. So now I had been with people all day, and this can of dog food was sitting on the podium. And people would come up to me and say, what's that about? And I say, I'll tell you later. And so what ended up happening was I turned it into a little event. And I had everybody who was born between 1946 and 1963 stand up. And back in that period of time, 25 years ago, it was the majority of the class. The interesting thing is, now it isn't. So the baby boomers aren't the big generation anymore. But they were. But the issues are still the same. So they'd come up to me and they'd talk to me about it. And I'd say, I'll tell you later. So at the end of the presentation, I would pick up the dog food can and I'd start walking up and down the aisles with it. And I would talk about the survey in Phoenix. And I would talk about how you can eat dog food when you're 65. And then I had done a little research on ALPO. ALPO is approved by the Food and Drug Administration. Well, the Food and Drug Administration approves products for human consumption. So then, just as a little joke, I decided we'd do a recipe deal for ALPOs, or make recipes. So we figured we could make a stew out of it, we could fry it, we could broil it, and then I said, you can even have it tartare, and it won't hurt you, because it's all approved. Everybody would go and quit. So then what I did was, I would get the youngest baby boomer in the room, who was born in 1964. Multiple people stood up, when were you born, when were you born, when were you born? And whoever the youngest one was, they would win the ALPO can. So I'd give them the can of dog food, and I would say, okay, you take the can of dog food, you put it in your office, see what kind of conversations it starts. Oh, and by the way, you're the youngest baby boomer in the room. By the time you get to the pay window, it's all going to be gone, because we will have pillaged and plundered everything we touched. And that was the story of the dog food. I was reading Barron's magazine, the financial magazine one, you know, it came out at the time weekly. It was a newspaper. And the front of Barron's, one paper came out, and it had a fellow sitting in a leather chair with a smoking jacket and slippers. And he had a can of ALPO and a silver spoon. And over the top of his head was, will you be able to retire at 65 in the manner in which you've become accustomed? I called Dr. Hold and I said, they're stealing our stuff. Well, he couldn't believe it. So we got Barron's, that was a funny thing that went on. But everybody talked about the dog food can, and everybody talked about, I was the ALPO guy, and that was my image, was the ALPO guy. I have walked into agents' office who have cans of ALPO sitting in their desk, who have cans of ALPO there. I mean, people who are, board members of the National Alliance, people that are agents all over the country. It's amazing. Sometimes you walk in and they're all about my age, and they all went through the National Alliance with I did, and they still have a can of ALPO in their office, and I still have one as well.
Thanks, Bob. To find out more about the Dynamics of Selling program, visit thenationalalliance.com. If you have any thoughts about today's podcast, visit the National Alliance on LinkedIn and leave us a comment. This is Speaking Insurance.